Good morning. Dan, the invitation song is 771. If you would mark your songbooks number 771. The song this morning after my lesson. We do have some visitors with us this morning, and we want to welcome you here. It's also good to see Jenny, as she's with us this morning. A while back, I brought a lesson, and this is a continuation of the series of lessons, and it's been a while since I presented that, so we're going to do a little bit of review this morning. The lesson that I gave a while back was on the responsibilities. And the first lesson I did was on the responsibilities to God. And the question came up is, actually, do we have any? Well, we went through that lesson and said, yes, we do. And part of the lesson this morning is to look at one of the things that I brought up in that lesson was Matthew 22, verse 37 through 39. And for our visitors, we always encourage our members and for you to follow along in the Bible, not only to see God's Word, but also to check the speaker and make sure that what we're saying is according with God's Word. That lesson that I gave, it probably took 40 minutes for me to get through it, can be summed up in a few just short passages. In verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. Everything that we do to follow God, we put Him first. That is the greatest commandment. The second one is somewhat like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. We also see this whole idea of loving God in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, that for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Well, back in Matthew chapter 22, we see that we're going to follow God, and we're going to keep His commandments, and we love Him by keeping His commandments. But today, as we have those responsibilities to God, we're going to look at another set of responsibilities, and following that second part, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This morning, I want to bring up and talk about the responsibilities that we have to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have blue. We're making progress. Well, we'll try to keep going here. As we're thinking about this topic, a lot of people, and especially the world, tells us that the only thing that's important is our relationship with God. For me, that relationship between me and God, that is it. My relationship with you doesn't matter. The world tells us that over and over again, that we are number one. We pay attention to God. But that passage that we read in Matthew 22 says commandments being plural. And that second part, loving your neighbor, while doesn't necessarily apply directly to being brothers and sisters and worrying about your brothers and sisters in Christ, that we're going to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we can get into a whole lesson on just exactly who our neighbor is. Now, let me catch my slides up here real quickly. So, when we're looking at our responsibilities and what the world teaches us, we actually need to go to God's Word and figure out, do we have responsibilities to our brothers and sisters in Christ? Do we have responsibilities to our neighbors? And that's a whole other sermon I'm not even going to get into this morning. But just look at brothers and sisters in Christ, the responsibilities that we have to them. sometimes within passages of that God's Word has given us, sometimes we only have one passage. And just because the number of passages that we have does not particularly pertain to the importance of the idea that is conveyed to us by God. In other words, sometimes we think in the world something has to be huge and there has to be a lot of information on it to be really important. And that's not necessarily in God's Word that that's not true. But in other cases, specifically on this, the responsibilities to our brothers and sisters in Christ, there's a few passages on it. And my computer is going really slow. There's a few passages on that. Actually, if I got much more, you would be having a hard time reading that. They all, in some way, either are an example or a direct commandment of how we are to treat our brothers and sisters. Throughout the Old Testament, we have example after example of example of sometimes how brothers and sisters treated each other. Sometimes it was really good. Sometimes it wasn't so good. The first passage being in Genesis, we see one brother slaying another brother just because one was not happy or did not follow God's word. We're not going to get to all these passages today. There's just no way. We're going to skim a few of them, and we'll look at some of them. But I actually encourage you, if you need the slides, you can look at all these and do an in-depth study exactly on what you're supposed to do between your brothers and sisters, because there's a lot, and I can't get through it all this morning. So let's start out with John chapter 13 and verse 34. Now this is Jesus speaking, and he's speaking, and remember we talked about commandments. All the other commandments hang on the first two that we discussed in a previous lesson. John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one another. Jesus repeats this commandment again in chapter 15 and verse 12 and verse 17. He talks about it. It's important enough for the Christ to give us instruction, to give us a command, to love one another. So very important. So very basic. Another passage is in chapter, as I said already, in chapter 15. We also want to look at 1 John chapter 3. John, starting in verse 11 of chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, goes into quite detail about loving our brothers. Verse 12, as an example, that we should not be like Cain who murdered his brother. Verse 14, that we have passed out of death into life because we love our brothers. Continuing in verse 14, whoever does not love abides in death. That's pretty important. The whole worldly view that the only relationship that is important to keep me from death, eternal damnation, is my relationship with God. You guys don't matter. That's not what this says. If we do not love our brother and our sister, we are already in death. We are dead. Verse 15, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. And of course, no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Verse 16, as Jesus laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. In battle, Gettysburg is an example. All the wars that have been over thousands of years. We see recent events where people laid down their lives protecting others. How much so more should we not do for our brothers and sisters? Are you willing to lay down your life? And many people will stand and say, yes, I am. If somebody came through the door with a gun, I would get in between my brothers and sisters and do whatever I could. That's great. And that is a wonderful thing, to be willing to lay down your life. But were you willing to do something much smaller? Maybe your brother and sister needed your prayers. Were you willing to sit and take a few minutes on something they needed help with and either pray with them or pray for them? Maybe they needed help doing a garden project. Maybe they just needed to get a stone out of the yard. Maybe they just need the door to be open for them to be able to get through the door comfortably without stumbling. If you're willing to lay down your life for your brothers and sisters in Christ, how much are the smaller things that also need to be taken care of? They're just almost as huge. Continuing in verse 17, those who have but chose their hearts against those who need God love. Excuse me, I'm messing that one up very badly. Does God love, or does God's love abide in you if you're unwilling to do some of these very minor things? Verse 18, love not in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. We can say all kinds of things that we love our brothers and sisters, but it becomes very obvious by our deeds. We can really talk, a really good talk. We can say great things. But if we don't follow through in those deeds of taking care of our brothers and sisters, maybe sometimes, however how small it is, we don't have the love that we should have for our brothers and sisters. Similar ideas are in John chapter 4, verse 7 through 21, talking about us loving each other. There's also, we want to jump down for time's sake, verse 20 and 22. We see the same idea. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God for whom he has not seen. And this commandment, there's that word again, commandment, we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. That word again, that commandment, hung back on those two first commandments that we talked about earlier in the lesson. And brother is not, of course, as I've already think I've made a point of, not between me and Wilson because we are brothers, but it's also between brother and sister. As we talk about mankind, we're talking about both men and women. I think when it talks about brothers here, it's talking in the other passages, it's not limiting just between brothers. Brothers to sisters, sisters to sisters. We have to love each other. Such an important concept. We're commanded to do it. There's also other passages that we can hit on in the same topic that just repeat it again and again and again. These are three of the passages. Plus there's more. What else do we have? Do we have anything else? Well, we're to exhort each other. Now, that's not a word that we normally use every day. I'm going to exhort you. Well, what does that mean? That means I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to try to help you to understand something. I'm going to help you in that area. We talk about encouragement more than exhort, and we're more familiar with that word. But we are to exhort each other by passages, such as Hebrews chapter 3. If you wish to turn there, we'll look at verse 12 and 13. Starting in verse 12. Take care, brothers, lest there be any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Every day. It's one of the reasons I'm on Facebook. I have no real great interest in Facebook, except to my brothers and sisters in Christ. Because while the electronic media that we have today leads to so many different sins, just like anything, there can be good use out of it. I can know what my brothers and sisters, what's involved in their lives, the great things that are happening to them. It's a wonderful tool in that way. And I can exhort them. I can exhort them just as they can exhort me if they see that I post something that maybe had a link to something else that I didn't even see. And they can say, hey, did you really mean this? Did you do this? And I can exhort my brothers and sisters through this media. I can see the things that they're involved in. Maybe that they're starting to look at a passage. And maybe they're looking at something that's, or maybe they're going to discard a passage that they shouldn't. We can exhort each other. But here we're to do it daily. How do we do that? For this congregation, we're scattered up until when the Reeds left. This congregation was scattered over 8 counties in 2 states. It's hard to keep up with everybody. It's hard to reach out. And I see Fernando and know what Fernando's another, he's on the other side of another county from me almost. So us to try to keep up together and to talk to each other, or even sometimes my own in-laws who are only 10 miles away, to try to know what's going on is tough. But we are to look at each other and to exhort each other, to build each other up. And that means we have to have contact. We can help each other out. We are our brothers and sisters. But if we don't take that responsibility very seriously, we can lose our brothers and sisters. Satan is after them just as much as he's after you. Also in Romans chapter 1 and verse 2, us being able to spend time in some ways with each other, we mutually encourage each other's faith. Over and over again, I've heard Wilson and Craig and Don, Stephen, Scott, and several other men that have stood up here and talked about being encouraging to each other. Part of that is actually being here. Now, immediately some of you went, click, I'm off. I don't understand. I understand for those who are physically have issues of being here. The Craigs are not here this morning. I understand that. Sickness befalls all of us at times. And I prefer you not to share that with your brother sometimes. I don't particularly like the colds and stuff. But I don't understand, when you're not here, you're not edifying me. And I cannot edify you. I cannot encourage you. You can't encourage me. I love my brothers and sisters, and I hope that they love me. But as we've repeated, it requires somebody to be here, because that's when the doors are open. Our brothers and sisters are here together. And sometimes, other than the sickness and health problems, please help me understand, because I truly don't. This, having mutual encouragement to build each other up, we have opportunities to do so. Please take care of those, take those opportunities and do so. Because as Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. Verse 25, encourage each other. If you don't know me, how can you encourage me? Over the last year and a half, I've had several discussions with members here that are very disheartening. When I refer to somebody and say, oh, you need help with that, well, such and such over here can do that, and a brother and sister will look at me and go, I don't know who that is. Well, that's Brother Smith. I don't know who that is. And then I have to describe them. If we were a congregation of 800 or 1,000, that's a lot of people to keep up with. But our little last Sunday attendance was 120 and we had visitors. You have to know your brothers and sisters. You should at least, at the very least, know their name, because they're here. Trying to know all of our brothers and sisters throughout the world, that's an impossibility. But we meet them. And they come in and out of this door here at this congregation quite often. Take time to meet them. You might not remember their name when they come back through. I have people that come in, Jim Jonas is one of them, I got to think about it, and every time he comes in the door, it's like, Jim, and I got to think about it. But I've known him for years, and he visits quite regularly. But for the members here, for your brothers and sisters that are located here, at least know their names. To be able to encourage those people, those brothers and sisters of yours, you have to know them. And I'm quickly running. We're not even going to look at Titus chapter 2. Yeah, actually, we got to touch down that one. Titus chapter 2. If you've read this over and over again, verses 1 through 8, very simple statements. Older men, teach the younger men. Older women, teach the younger women. This is a two-pronged thing. Gentlemen, if you consider yourselves to be older, above the age of 16 qualifies probably. And I'm not just speaking to our younger people that normally sit on this side. Because they can be, and they are, an example. Because I look at these boys in front, and for some of you who are just beginning to drive, spinning your wheels out here in the pavement, these boys are going, wow, I get to do that. In 3 or 4 years, I get to do that. Well, yeah, they do. You're setting an example. You're teaching already at the age of 16. And that continues on for adulthood. What we do as adults, teach the younger. But it also has to be another fork to that, another side to that. For those of you who are younger, and that applies to anybody that's, I forget who our oldest member is right now, like 80 and below, that means we have to be willing to learn and to listen to those who are older and be able to willing to seek out to their advice. If we're not, they can't teach us. Another responsibility is to forgive our brothers and sisters. This one's hard because our brothers and sisters do some stupid things sometimes. Amazingly enough, in our own lives, when we do something stupid, we just write it off and go, that was dumb. I won't do that again. But if my brother and sister does it to me or it affects me, I have a hard time forgiving them. We can look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Actually, let's go ahead and look at that quickly. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. I believe we have a parable talking about forgiveness. We see one man who was forgiven a lot hold another man who owes him very little in comparison and not forgiving him. Whole lesson in itself. We can also look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 8. This is an interesting concept. In verse 7, why not suffer the wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? This whole thing is talking about brother against brother. Sometimes it's just easier. We have Matthew chapter 18 tells us how to deal with a brother or sister who sinned against us. But we also have to realize that sometimes they have no clue that they did it. And we have to give it up. It's not worth holding it for years and years. Either go to them and tell them what they've done to you, so they have a chance to correct it. But also in your own mind, at that point, once they've repented, you have to drop it. We see so many passages talking about that. Just forget it. It's been apologized for. It's time to move on. Keeping something, Brother Smith, 20 years ago, barred my truck and crashed it. Did he apologize? Yes, he did. But I really liked that truck. He just tore it up. Well, he apologized. It was taken care of. It's time to move on. Put it away. Why? Sometimes it's better just to suffer even the wrong than to continue to hold on to something. Now, my time is all but away from me. This topic is so vast. As you saw all those other passages, we can also talk about brothers and sisters showing hospitality to one another, serving each other, helping a brother and sister move, helping them do some gardening work if they need it, helping that second part, serve. That's a lot. That's big. But it requires your time. And it requires you to love your brothers and sisters to give that time. Some folks are able to help each other out financially. And if you can't financially help a brother or sister out, that's okay. Can you give them some time in an area where they need help? In prayer, in study, in washing second floor windows that they can't get to. It can be so trivial maybe to you, but for that brother and sister, you're definitely showing love by serving them. We can also confess and pray for confess to each other, pray. That confession part is really good because it also gives somebody accountability. If I tell one of you that, hey, I'm having weakness in this area, you can hold me accountable for that. And that's a good thing. Because you can check back on me, not to hammer me, but to go, hey, how's that working out? Do you need help? Do you need prayers? You know, it's been 6 months. How's it going for you? That's exhortation. you're exhorting that brother, helping to build that brother or sister up. Bear, build, endure, glorify together God. Again, serve and love. Bear each other. We're all sinful folks, and it's going to take some bearing of each other. But through bearing of each other and having understanding, we can actually build each other up. Have some grace for your brother and sister and some forgiveness. We're going to end with this scripture this morning. Hopefully most of you, I'm not going to get into reading it. Hopefully most of you are familiar with 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But it talks about the one body. An important part of that that part of that passage is where the eye says to the hand, I have no need of you. What a foolish eye. Because the mouth is going, I need food and I can't really get it myself. I need the hand. The eye saying, I don't need you. We don't need the hand. That passage applies to the one body in every congregation and within the entire world or of all the Christians together. We need each other. The visitors that come in from different places, for you visitors that are here with us this morning, that is highly encouraging to me. I love meeting you, I love having you with us, and I love when I go someplace else that I'm welcomed into the congregation. That is encouraging. You don't even know me and you're encouraging me. You're part of the body, and I need that part of the body to help me. For our brothers and sisters here, each one of them, I need each one of you to help encourage me. There's not one of you that I can do without. Not one part of the body that I can do without that is not in some way helpful to me. This whole passage talks about being one body. So if you come occasionally and think, well, I'm not really important to the congregation, you're wrong. Flat wrong. Because you are part of the body. You build up the other parts of the body. The body parts need you. What you contribute is important. Highly important. The body works together well if all the pieces are working well. And I meant to have, I had a note and I completely missed it. It was on my paper notes. Working together well sometimes, and as we were talking about, and I mentioned service, we serve each other. And I asked permission to mention this, and I'm going to mention it now. Within our congregation, there are almost every one of us needs some kind of service from the other people. We are the one body. We need those other parts. When I watch Vicky, I sit behind her. Gentlemen, for those of you who serve communion, I appreciate your service. When you get to Vicky, she is a sister who needs a little bit more service from you. She can't see to grab the cups out. You actually need, when you get to her, and it might be that you normally go down another aisle someplace and you don't think about it, but if you end up in this aisle, you actually need to pick the cup up and hand it to her. Serving is sometimes a very small thing. That is a small thing maybe in your mind, but for Vicky it's huge because she can't see the cups. She's part of our body, and she needs you as part of that body to serve her in that capacity. There's so many other little things that our brothers and sisters need, but you have to know them. You have to understand that this is a commandment of God that we love our brothers and sisters and that we're going to serve them. For those of you who are not Christians, look at the lesson today and go, that's what's going to be expected. Count the cost. because God expects you to serve your brothers and sisters once you obey God. For those of you who are of Christ, who have already put on Christ, think about your service to your brothers and sisters. Can you step it up? Are you doing everything? Have you been thinking, the only thing that's really important is my relationship between me and God, my brothers and sisters? Nah, that's not really important. Is that where your mindset's been? That can be corrected, and I urge you to correct it. For those of you who are not, this morning you can be baptized. We can talk to you. We can look at exactly what Christ requires of you to become a follower of His. He has specific requirements, and we can talk to you. But this morning, whichever be the case, I'm going to ask that you stand and sing with me the song of invitation.